Surrender more each and every day. And it's something that He works through us. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand before You tonight, Lord. Nobody, Lord, as it were, the flesh, Lord, but we stand before You as Your children, sons and daughters, that You've seen in Your mind before the foundation of the world, Lord. Lord, as we enjoyed the song service and as we go into the ministering of the word, Lord, we ask that You just move the flesh out of the way, Lord, remove the nervousness, the thoughts, Lord, that are not of You or anything that could disrupt You, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that You speak tonight, Lord. We ask that You hear the cries of Your people. Your children, Lord, they come to hear from You. They didn't come to hear from me or from any man, Lord, but they come to hear from You, Lord. We turn ourselves over to Your service just now, Lord. Have Your way. Be with Brother Don as him and the family are away on a little vacation, Lord. May You give him rest and give him peace, Lord, and time away of relaxing, Lord, and give them a good time, Lord, and bring them back accordingly, Lord. And look forward to seeing them Sunday, Lord, or whenever the return date is, Lord, You know. And those that might not be here working or sick or whatever, Lord, we lift them up before You, Lord. You know all things. Those that are online, Lord, may something be said that would edify them, Lord, to help them grow in the revelation, Lord, and stand a little taller in the revelation, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Good to see each one. I don't like being here. I don't know if anybody really does. But God is good to us, and we didn't know exactly what we would be ministering on. I was up late last night, and we ministers, and all of us, not just ministers, but we all have thoughts and that God gives us. God moves upon us, and it causes us to go into our studies, and we dwell on that, and go to the Word and seek revelation on that, and that's good, and we should always have that, and we should always do those things. Thank you. But sometimes when it comes to ministering, it changes you up a little bit, I guess. So we're just going to get started here. I'm really nervous, and Brother Don mentioned that he was going away, and I was like, okay, Brother Goomba's going to be preaching. It's like, that's all right. And I said, well, let's give him just a little bit longer. I was like, okay, that's all right. And I think he's listening in, whether it's Zoom or YouTube. We greet you, brother. Greet the family. We greet those that are online. You bear with me. The flesh is weak, but God is almighty. So, I didn't know really what the title of the message. I was reading this scripture the other day. I believe I was talking to Rebecca about the three Hebrew children. And I just began to look at that, and part of my title was Through the Fire, and then the other part of the title was Expressing Him, and so I just put them together, and so this is, we'll get started here. And so I told Amanda the day, I said, this is either going to be really short or this is going to be really long. And she said, well, it'll be what the Lord wants it to be. I said, yep. I said, because I'm not sure it is what I want it to be. So, but, and I don't mean to be funny in the pulpit. All right. So we're going to read in the scripture here about the three Hebrew children. We're going to start off in that chapter. And the more I read it today, the more excited I got about it. And I didn't pull in the whole chapter. I just started in the somewhere in the middle. But I began to think about the three Hebrew children. And kind of looking at them in contrast to what we have and what they had in that day. And so we know that King Nebuchadnezzar made a proclamation. The previous chapter, Daniel had interpreted a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar praised God. The God that Daniel served praised him. Got all excited, got stirred up, and he began to want to do something. He wanted to do something. So he made a great big image. And I think sometimes I wonder if I do that. I get excited about something that I see or God shows me a little bit. But then I, as a man, want to do something. Rather than just wait on God to move us or to move me, I want to do something. And so we'll get started here and just starting in the... So he made the golden image. Tells everybody, you're going to bow down when you hear this, the music and the harps and the dulcimer and all this music. That's your cue to fall down and worship the image. That was a proclamation. If you don't do this, you're going into the fiery furnace. So we're going to start reading here, and you pray for me. And this is just when they have brought the three Hebrew children to the king. And he reads the proclamation to him. So now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's asking him. And so I want you to take notice there. He said, you're going to be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I would think burning and fiery was the same thing, but there was some reason why the scripture said it this way. And so he's asking, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. So who is this God that's going to deliver you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. They are not going to be careful. They're not going to hold the punches back. They're not going to play around. They're not going to be soft about it. They're going to boldly state what they believe. They're not going to be careful about this. They know that they're facing death. It's not a time to be careful. It's a time to be bold. When you believe something, I don't care what you're facing, it's time to be bold. You can't compromise on the word. You can't go halfway. You can't put part of it up and think, well, I'll just put this part up and it'll be okay. But if you don't pull up the full armor of God, there's a weak link in there, and that's where Satan's going to get you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so... I want you to listen to this verse, and again, I put a lot of quotes in there, and so I don't know if I'll get to them all. You have them. I sent them out. I do have some that I do want to get to, but you just bear with me. It said, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. I want you to pay attention to this verse now. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. comma. So, we're going to make 2 points in this one verse. Two things. We're going to point out two things in this one verse. If it be so, our God who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. So you got to look at what they're looking at. Yes, God is able to deliver us. He's able. Now, he hasn't told us he was. But one thing is for sure, whether we go by the fire or whether we go another way, God will deliver us out of thy hand. That's a fact. The first part, okay, he can't. We know he can. But the other part is a fact. We're getting delivered. One way or the other, we're getting delivered. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his, and I had to ask Amanda what this word, visage, his face. The form of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, well, let's step back from it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the previous chapter, God comes to Daniel, reveals the dream. Daniel gives the king the interpretation. The king sets Daniel over the providence of the land. And Daniel requests that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come and be part of those men that are rulers. So now, if in a form, it's not, I don't want to know how to say it other than this, but so now Daniel has stuck his neck out to the king and has got these three men. So now the king's thinking, I love Daniel so much. If he's vouching for these three, oh man, these are the guys. These are the ones. His face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. They built a fire 7 times greater than any other fire that had ever been built in that furnace. I'll get to a quote here in a minute where Brother Branham said the sky was literally red, bright with how big this fire was. The whole country sees this. All of Nebuchadnezzar, all of Babylon, all of the Hebrews, slaves, they were captured, they were in captivity. All of them see what's happening. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them. So, again, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to get all my quotes. And just be with you. So he commanded the most mighty men. I don't want you to go get the regular soldiers. I don't want you to go get the regular captains. I don't want you to get the lieutenants. I want you to get the mighty men that are in my army. I want you to get those men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, in their hosen, in their hats, and in their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So every part of them was bound. There was no escape. There's no way out. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why he needed the mighty men. He just built a big old fire. He wasn't just getting the regular firekeepers. He needed the mighty men. Now remember that. The mighty men were killed. When they opened up the doors or whatever the setting was there, when they throwed them in, and I made a comment to Rebecca the other day, and I may have misquoted the scripture, I thought the fire had killed the men before they got thrown in. wasn't remembering the scripture correctly. And I thought that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in willingly. And Brother Branham kind of references that a little bit, but he doesn't say it exactly like that, so I'm correcting myself from the other day. The men threw him in. The mighty men threw the three Hebrew children in the fire. And then the fire was so hot, it killed them. Because they were in haste. The devil is always in haste to get you. And he's going to come at you with mighty men. That's what he's going to come out with. He knows this message. He can quote this message better than any preacher you know. Satan knows the letter. He knows the letter. Sorry. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I'm getting excited. I want you to pay attention to this. They fell down, but they fell down bound. They fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He's moving in haste. He wants to kill them right now, and now he wants to figure out what's going on right now. No patience. And he spake and he said unto his counselor, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. What's the difference in 23 and 25 now? The men were bound. They fell down bound in verse 23. Now we're in verse 25. And now we don't see three men. We see four men. And I know you know this. And I know I'm not. I'm just. trust me, I'm not thinking that. But I want this to be real to you. I want you to understand the implementation. The trials that we go through are for our good. And that's something that's not easy to say. That's not. And I'm not going to ask for. Nobody's going to ask for a trial. But it makes us fall down sometimes. And the answer unto the king, true. And he said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, I'm going to get to some quotes here. I want to ask a question. How did the king know what the form of the Son of God looked like? How did he know? He ain't never seen the Son of God. What made that happen? What made that visible? What brought that manifestation? What brought that expression? And I know God came down from heaven. I'm not saying that there wasn't. There were four men. God came down. I'm not saying that. But something triggered that. Something brought that onto the scene that the king, nobody had ever seen before. And I just want to tear into preaching, but I want the quotes to say what I want to say. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Now look, now the king's come near to the mouth of the fiery furnace. Few verses ago, it killed his most mighty men in the army. But now the king is able to come near the mouth of this fire that's seven times hotter. What's the difference from when the mighty men fell than when now he's there? The Son of God is there. That's the difference. Not only is he protecting his children, but he's showing enough grace to the king to say, hey, big boy, you're trying to kill my children here. I'm going to let you talk to them now. A fire that killed the most mighty men in his army, now he stands before. The difference was God wasn't with him when they threw him in. But now he's with them. He's standing there with them. This king sees him. And I'm sure when he ran down there to talk to him, he probably wanted to talk to the fourth man. He came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants, So he's recognizing, ye servants of the Most High God. His tune is changed now. Come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was their hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed over them. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. He has changed the king's word. He has overridden a proclamation of death to anybody that doesn't fall down. I'm going to kill everybody who doesn't worship this image that I've made. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has overridden me, has outpowered me, and yielded their bodies that they may not serve nor worship any God except their own God. He protected them. They didn't know. He didn't tell them. He didn't come down and says, hey, don't worry about it. I know the fire looks big and it's hot and it's killing people and it's got the sky lit up and everybody can see it from a hundred. Don't worry about it. I got you. He didn't tell them that. All they knew was that their God was the one true God and that they weren't going to serve another God. That's all they knew. Well, no, that's not all they knew. They knew they could be delivered. I'm not trying to overlook that. They knew they could be delivered. They knew he could do it. They'd done seen it too many times. They didn't know if they were going to be delivered. They were willing to be martyrs. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pretty astounding. Here's a man that's already, here's a king that's already seen God manifested in his life. The previous chapter acknowledged that he was the one true God. The very next chapter, he's making images and wanting people to worship someone other than that. Getting into the quotes here. It's been a very rainy day, and you see certainly harmed the crowds of our gathering tonight. But we know that there's one blessed thought that we have and know to be the truth. Jesus comes whether it's raining or not. He just comes right on. There's nothing that can stop him. He went into the belly of a whale for Jonah. He went down in the fiery furnace through the fire blazes and took all of the BTUs out of a blaze for some fellas. He went into the lion's den for a prophet one time. He stood there like a big light, the angel of the Lord. That great light stood there, and of course the animals were afraid of light. He couldn't go to the prophet. And I believe the same angel of God, that great pillar of fire, the light, is with us tonight. And we got a picture. And Peter said, think it not strange that when trials come upon you, fiery trials, it's better to you than gold. And that is not easy to say from one standpoint. Now when you get the revelation of that standpoint, or from that statement, you appreciate the trials. From a fleshly standpoint, we don't want the trials. Nobody wants trials. But when we know that those trials are coming for a reason, they're coming to prove something, they're coming to express something, then we look forward to them. Oh, that refiner's fire. It'll come out 100%. All the dross melted out, all the unbelief, an experience then you know, that you know. What the Hebrew children could testify after they went through the fire, God is the Savior from fire. They knew it. Daniel knew after the lion's den experience. Lazarus knew after the grave that he was the resurrection. Why? Because Lazarus was once dead and then he lived again. He was the expression of a resurrection. And after you went through these tests and trials, they're glorious to you. Then this is done to test their faith. Maybe it might be tonight that some are here, got sickness, and it's a test of faith, you see. What you'll do about it? He had proven to them who he was. He proved who he was. How? By the words that he preached and by the works that followed the words. See? Vindication. God had vindicated him, for he said unto them, if I do not the works of God, then don't believe me. If God said I would do, if I don't do them, then condemn me if I don't do. If I'm not the Messiah, he would say, if I'm not the Messiah, you can't believe me as a man being the Messiah because I never come through your schools. You have no place where I was ever educated or where I went through your schools of theology. If you can't believe that I'm the Messiah, well, believe the works they testify. They testify. The works testify of who he is. Jesus said to them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. They tell you what I am. But while to the true believer it's the revelation of God being revealed in the age we're living in, he said, my words are spirit and life. Jesus said, again, the word is a seed that the sower sowed. And I heard someone say the other day, I don't know if I've seen it on a clip or whatever, but I thought it was really striking. When a farmer or whoever is planting seed, when they plant that seed, they give up the choice of what the harvest is going to be. Does that make sense? You plant corn, you can't get 3 months into the process and say, no, I want it to be wheat now. No, you've done planted a seed of corn. You're going to get corn. If you plant wheat, you're going to get wheat. What you plant is what you're going to get. What you sow is what you reap. God's not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. The word is a seed that the sower sowed. We know that that's true. It's God in word form and can only be interpreted by himself. The human mind is not capable to interpret the mind of God. You're not going to interpret the word of God. You're not going to manifest him out of a mental conception of the message. There's a lot of people that have a mental conception of the message. And for a time, maybe that's where it's at. And God's just waiting for that time to drop down. But it can't stop there. I'm not saying that they're lost because of that. I'm not. Just saying that's not what's going to produce it. What's going to produce it is when it drops down and God waters it and then he starts living that life. We know that that's true. It's God in word form and only he can interpret it. Repeating myself here. We can't even interpret one another's mind. And I believe Brother Don might have read this. And there's some quotes in here where Brother Don has read over the past few services and he's one of those pastors that he's hard to get up behind and preach because he's pretty much done hit on everything in the past few services. And I was like, and then he's like, you know, can you preach? And I'm like, yeah, but what am I going to preach? And so, but it's good. I love to hear my wife tell me she loves me. I could hear it every minute of the day. I love it. Makes me feel good. I also love it when I'm in a conversation with someone else and they see that and they say, she loves you. I love seeing that too. I told Amanda, I said, I'll be the spare tire till Sunday morning when Brother Don gets back. Or whoever's preaching, so I don't know who's preaching, so, but right now we'll just get you through the week. It was way down in Babylon one morning, years ago. The three Hebrew children had been taken down there captive away from their homeland. They were sad because they were captive. They were sad because there was no place to worship. But they still lived true to God. There came a bunch of deceivers along, and they passed a proclamation that whosoever wouldn't bow to an image which was contrary to their religion would be thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king, with his great brawl, came out and said, whoever will not bow to this image must go into the fiery furnace to be burned up. Now, there was a testing time. And Brother Branham said, this earth is where we're being tested. You don't need to be tested in heaven. It's already, that's done. You're here on earth to be proven. God, and it's not that you're proving it to God. God already knows. But he's proven that Satan has lost the battle. He's proven that what he's seen in his mind before the foundation of the world is being expressed just like he's seen it. He didn't miss nothing. He didn't miss one jot, one tittle. He didn't miss nothing. And there was a testing time. Every son that cometh to God must first be tested, tried. Oh, I love it. Oh, I don't call for it. But after it passes, it yields beautiful fruits of meekness. Testing time. When the fire is hot, how many Christians through the ages went through that testing time? And the Bible said if we can't stand the testing, we become illegitimate children and not children of God. So a real child of God in testing time, which this was, they do not walk by sight. Their physical eyes are closed to the things that are around them. And this is going to get really exciting here. Their physical eyes are closed to the things around them. They only walk by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to his word and believing that he will keep every word exactly the way he said he would do it. Testing time, trials. And we see them trying times come to these three Hebrew children, and they proved out faithful. They said, we will not bow to an image. Oh my. The great proclamation had been signed. They went and gathered them together, pulled their hands behind them, walked them out to the great plank, a runoff, a drop into the furnace that had the skies literally red, seven times hotter than it was ever hit. And while they were walking up to this plank, knowing that in their hearts, they didn't see how God could ever do it, but they knowed God could do it. It was their privilege to walk to their death, as it was, to keep the word of God. And that's when you know you got seed right there. When it doesn't matter what it looks like, it's a privilege. If it kills us, it kills us. If it doesn't, Paul said to live as Christ, to die as gain. And as they walked up there, perhaps was the darkest hour they'd ever seen. No home to go to on this earth. They were captives. They were just like slaves. They'd been brought from their homeland. They wasn't allowed to go to the public. They worshipped idols in that country, so they couldn't go to idolatry. Neither could they have their homeland privileges. They were captives. But one thing you can't bind a believer from God. No, you can't. And that morning, as they walked up, knowing that they stood alone with God, and they began to make their steps, as it were, up perhaps the darkest hour they'd ever come to, the heat of the furnace began to blate on their face. So one thing I didn't mention in the scripture that So they throw them in, the mighty men of Babylon, throw them in, and the fire is so hot it kills them. But it didn't kill the three Hebrew children. What's that saying? It didn't kill them, but it killed the mighty men. Uh, Jesus came along at that time, and he got down to the fiery furnace, pulled a palm off the evergreen trees from heaven, began to fan the heat away. Until after burning, perhaps an hour or more, the king got all weary and said, "Open it up, let's see what's happening." And I can think, well, perhaps for an hour, and the king's got away and opened up and said, "Let's see what's happened." And when they pulled down the great lid of the furnace, the big steel or brass lids or fell down, the king looked and said, "How many did we put in there?" He said, "We put three." He said, "Well, there's four in there, and one of them looks like the Son of God. It might come dark, heated times. It might come testing times, but Jesus is always on the scene if we just be true and faithful." Amen. I have a quote in my mind here that for some reason I feel like is not here where I wanted it to be, and I apologize. But I think about those three Hebrew children as they begin to be bound, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looking at one another. And they say, well, they're saying their goodbyes to one another, and or whatever. And I'm putting on a little drama for you here. And I can see Shadrach look over at Meshach and Abednego and tell them, "It's been an honor to walk this life with you. I don't know if he's going to save us. I know he can. I've seen it happen. I don't know. But if this is the day, I'm glad I'm going with you two." And the other two say something similar. These mighty men come in and they slam them on the ground and they start tying them up and throwing the cuffs on them. And I can just hear Shadrach kind of chuckle a little bit. And he looks at Abednego and Meshach and he says, "Y'all see that fire down there?" He said, "They think that's a fire. But do you remember Mount Carmel?" He said, "No, that's a fire. This right here is not a fire." Mount Carmel, the fire come out of heaven and it burned up the stones. It burned up the dust. It burned up the dust. You burn a fire here, you got ashes, you got dust. This fire burned the dust. There was nothing left. 12 barrels of water, the sacrifices, everything gone. Paragraph 287. I don't know where I'm at, but that's... Notice, made alive, and today, when the Word is manifested in human vessels, veils, it's absolutely the Word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God. Being baptized into Him according to 1 Corinthians 12, we become identified with Him. And I'm not mentioning the messages here. You have them, and I'll just let you... And I'm happy today to be one of them, being identified with the Word, which is Christ, identified with Him, being baptized in Him, we become identified. Identified in His likeness, identified with His Word, which is Him. And if I'm in Christ, I'm His Word. For He is the Word, and what He is, I am. Amen? Do you get it? And think of it, the same pillar of fire that came down to those men and wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that's here today, interpreting the Bible, amen. How we thank Him for that. Same. What a comfort. What an identification. I'm so glad to be identified in that. I don't know what to do. I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, and all the rest of them. Identified in that Word where that Shekinah glory and the revelation lays. You're identified in that. That's who you are. That's who you begin to express. And I say you, I'm not talking about you as a veil of flesh. I'm talking about you as a son and a daughter of God. And I'm going to read a quote here that Brother Don read, that I probably read that quote over the years 100 times probably. And for some reason, it just hit. Oh, in this last day to see the same pillar of fire, speaking the same words, not only that, but interpreting, making it manifest, improving it. It's the truth. So the people has not one way to disbelieve, lest they're just willfully want to. And when they willfully want to, what does that mean? That proves who they are. So this message didn't just come to identify the seed of God. It also came to identify the seed of Satan. It's manifesting both of them. It's bringing both of them to head. It's bringing them both. You're not going to be confused on which one is up. One's going to be the word. One's going to be the expression. One's going to be God. And the other one is not. And the other one is not so much. It might be 99%. Might be 99.9. It can be that close. It can be one word. Paragraph 303. He died to reveal himself to us. Now let us die to self to reveal him to others. Let us die to the traditions and the things to reveal him to others. Die to the denomination to reveal him to the others. Now, the outside body, and this is the quote that really I've read it a bunch since he's read it. This outside body has 5 inlets to it to contact your earthly home, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside, which is the spirit, has 5 senses, conscious, love, and so forth. But the inside of that, the soul, has one thing, and that's where you live. That's you. That soul is you, and that's God. The spirit can come out here and anoint you to do certain things, do it, but that doesn't mean you're saved. Think of it. Caiaphas prophesied, Judas cast out devil. See, the spirit anointed him. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The weeds can rejoice with the wheat. But it's what it is at the core. There's where you intellectuals can accept it. Say, oh, sure, that looks good. Oh, I believe that. That still don't do it. No, sir. The spirit can actually make witness of it, and still it isn't so. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out there, but it cannot be real. You can act healing. You can act like you have. You can act like you receive it. Christians can act like they're Christians and act and ever be oh so good at it. But that don't mean that you're saved. That's exactly right. The Spirit can be there, the real genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. That still don't mean you're saved. It's that inside soul that never dies. It's God eternal life. It always was eternal life. It come from God. It goes to God. It's the soul. And that's who you are. That's where you live. That's the manifestation. That's the expression right there. I'm going to drop down to paragraph 35. But the question is, what do you see when you look at him? Do you see the second person of the Trinity, or do you see a Trinity, 3 in 1? You'll only see him as you look at him through the Word. That's the only way you know it. Because he's the Word. It's revealed himself. It depends on what you're looking for. If you look at him to argue, then you're looking wrong. He didn't argue. It wasn't meant for him to argue. Remember, you see him as you look at him through his Word and recognize him. Now, you cannot see him until your eyes is open to that fact. 2 men can look at the same scripture and disagree. One of them's got to be right. One of the other, and the other is going to be... is. And the other one, wrong. Sometimes there are things that's happening around us that we can't understand. Others are saying they see things. Others see nothing about it. God is moving and manifesting himself through us. Some people, we see it. I can see God in Brother Goomba. I can see God in Sister Bride. I can see God in Amanda and in each one of you. Other people might not see that. They say, oh, they're old fuddy-duddies, or oh, they're this, and they're just weird, and they live a strange life. It's strange to them. But you're expressing a life. I say you. God is expressing a life through you. It's just like man. He's always talking about how great God is and what he done and what things he's going to do and not seeing the things he's doing right now. He looks at him in history. He looks at him in prophecy, but forgets that he's doing the same thing now as he did, just in man. They don't want to yield to him so that he can manifest himself. They want to put their own idea because it cuts against the grain, or it's going to cut my family off, or it's going to make me feel bad, or it's going to do this, or it's going to do that. And so they come just so much and can live so sincere. And right, just right there, right to the edge of the plank, it's still them. But you're going to get into the fire. The fire is going to prove. And remember, if you was ever in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thoughts for this age. Amen? If you was ever in God's thinking, you'll always be there. You've got eternal life. You are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. There's only one eternal life, and it's always existed. And you, in his mind, existed before there was a world. That's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. It isn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God, eternal, you always was, see, in his thinking. Remember that message that made me think just now, that message Brother Holmes preached years ago? We are what God says we are. That's who we are. We're not who we say we are. We're not who somebody else says we are. We're not who our job says we are. And our biggest problem is we're not who we say we are. I want to hit that again. We're not who we say we are. Because you can, and people do it. And I've been guilty. I've done it. You can try to live a good life. You can try to live a Christian life. You can go to church. You can do all the things. And people see as, oh, precious brother. He's not the best preacher, but you know, he gets us all right. He's all right. If he's not expressing himself through this veil of flesh, if it's not him, if we put our own idea to what we think that the expression should be, then we've missed it. You're not, I don't know why I keep saying that. If you put your idea to what you think the expression is, you're going to miss it. God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Let the bringing of the pass, let the expression interpret the word. You don't have to. You can't produce this as a man, as a woman, as a flesh. You can't do it. The Those three Hebrew children lived under a conviction. They believed it. They wasn't going to be moved. And yeah. I don't, again, don't want to add nothing, but I'm sure they thought that this is probably going to hurt. They didn't want to do that. As a man, they didn't want to be burned. But as a child of God, something yielded up that vessel to express something to a nation of idol worship. To express God. I didn't mean to say something. To express God to a nation of idol worshipers. They didn't do that within themselves. And you don't do that yourself. And I'm not, and I'm hoping. I'm hoping. I'm not saying that's what's going on here. I'm just, I'm talking about me. You know, and it's every time, every time I come here, it's and I know it's not easy on any minister, but I want it to be not just that when I'm here in this position for a moment, but I want it to be any time that God chooses to come, that I don't have to pull myself out of a mess that Michael has created, that Michael has let his study life go slack, let his prayer life go slack, let the world creep in. I don't want to have to go through that process every time. God's going to bring me to that. God's, because I know I'm one of His. I'm not doubting that. I already know that I'm one of His. And I know every one of you here are one of His. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God is expressing Himself. And God's biggest problem is Michael. Michael's biggest problem is Michael. And God's word didn't go forth and come back void. He's going to manifest Himself. However He has to do that. If He has to build a fire out here that's 10 times as big as what Nebuchadnezzar built to prove something, if that's what He wants to do, He can do it. What I'm saying is, He shouldn't have to do that. He should be able just to come and say this and do this. I think about the prophet. Think about how the prophet and that life he lived. That God, he could be walking down the street and God whisper in his ear or however he spoke to him in his heart. Where how, and says, turn left. Go a mile or whatever, two blocks, whatever. Turn right, do this, do this. And that veil of flesh started moving. It started moving. I want that. I don't want to be a prophet. I'm not saying that. There's only one prophet. But I want that. I want to be driving to work one day. And God said, I don't want you to go to work. I want you to go visit Brother Goomba. And y'all are going to go do this. And y'all are going to go do that. And I just do it. Because we have today something that those three Hebrew children didn't have. We have the fullness of God today. We don't have Him in part. We don't have 75% of Him. We don't have Him. We have the fullness of God today. That's who we are. I say we have it like sometimes I talk about we have that, and I'm separating us, and that I'm holding Him. And so, that's who we are. That's what I mean to say. We, the collective bride, not just this little group here, not America, not just Africa, not just India, not just Australia, not just those little cliques or groups. the collective body of Christ is the fullness of God today. He said he would have it, and he has it, and he's working on it. Something in me just pulls me to that. It draws me to that. It hurts the flesh. It's a sacrifice. But I count it a privilege. I count it a privilege to look like an oddball at work. To be sitting there in when we're all eating a big dinner, and I'm the only one that bows and prays my head over the food. I'm the only one in 35 people that's praying and thanking Him for the food. And when I raise my head, and I'm not saying this for bragging, when I raise my head, I see people looking at me. And I know what they're thinking. And I make it a point to smile at them. I make it a point to know, I caught you watching me praying. I want you to come ask me about it. I've tried to talk to them. But no, I got a church. I'm good. And there's 10 beers sitting in front of him. Like, you're not good, buddy. God is doing that through His bride all around the world. He's expressing Himself. She's going through trials. She's proving who she was, who she is. I tell the guys at work what the Lord done with me on the truck, and they're in awe. And I said, yeah, the Lord done it. And I see it in there. I can almost, and one of them even made a comment. Said, are you sure? You sure it just didn't fix itself? I was like, nah, I'm sure. They had to pull my engine apart and pull the part out and put a new one in. It didn't fix itself. And God covered the cost. It didn't cost me nothing. I had to go through, and I can only speak to my little experiences. I had to go through a couple of weeks of not having a truck. I had to coordinate our trips, our duties as work and her appointments, and I had to work around that. And there's times I may just want to jump in the truck and drive to town for whatever reason. And I couldn't do that. You say, well, that's not hard. I know. But it gave me the opportunity to tell somebody that God came on the scene for me. We all have, and I appreciate what Brother Don did the other service when he started mentioning the different things. We all have things that we can show people from a natural standpoint, if you will. It's God moving, but He's moving and He's blessing you in a natural standpoint so that maybe you get the opportunity to speak to somebody and say, well, man, that's amazing, man. Well, I did that, and it cost me everything. I said, nope, it didn't cost me nothing. Well, man, you sure are lucky. I said, nope, I sure am blessed. God did that. And I don't have a clock. For some reason, it's not showing up. So somebody just holler at me. And remember, if you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of the thought for this age. There is only one eternal life that's always existed, and if you are in His mind existing, and I've read this, it isn't what you think, what somebody else thinks, it's what God, eternal. You always was in His thinking. It was Him, it was in Him to be a man. That's the reason Christ was the expressed image, see? And now He was to be a Father, He was to be a Son, He was to be a Savior, He was to be a healer. There's nothing, there wasn't even an angel or nothing. Then He created the angels and He became God. He was worshipped. Then those are the manifestations of His thinking. There's nothing wrong. Everything is going to turn out all right. Don't be scared. I want to reread that. There is nothing wrong. I don't care how big the fire is. I don't care what the bills do. I don't care what the government does. I don't care. There's nothing wrong. Everything is going to turn out all right. Don't be scared. God's big time piece is ticking right along. It'll be there. It'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It was in his thinking. The thing of it is, I in there, you are in there. Am I in there? Are you in there? That's the question. We are kings and priests tonight. What difference does it make whether we have or whether we haven't? Whether we have $1 million in the bank account or if we don't have $1 million in the bank account. Whether we've got food on the table or whether we don't have food on the table. Whether we got the best job in the world or whether we don't have the best job in the world. Everything is going to be all right. There's nothing wrong. Why? We're not trusting in our bank accounts. We're not trusting in our trucks. We're not trusting in flesh. We're trusting in what God is doing, what God is expressing through his bride. That's what we believe in. That's what we're trusting in. That's what we are. As long as we've got God, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We sit in the presence of God. Think about that. Here, the three Hebrew children just jumped into the biggest fire they've ever seen in their life. And they go to their knees. And then God comes on the scene. We are more than conquerors. We sit in the presence of God, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, taking spiritual communion from the hands of him that testified. I was he that was dead, and alive again, and I live forevermore, setting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, blessed be his holy name. What difference does it make, a tent or a cottage? Why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there of rubies and diamonds and silver. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. And I want to skip down just 1:16. What can we do? Why taking thought can add one cubit to your statue? What do you care whether your hair is curly or whether you've got any or not? What difference does it make if you're old, if you're gray, if you're stoop-shouldered? If you're not, what difference does it make? This is just for a spell, a little space. But that's forever and ever, and eons of time roll on. As the ages roll on, you'll never change and go through his ceaseless eternal ages. What difference does it make? This little blip in time that begins to bind us in our hands, begins to bind us in our feet, begins to bind us in our hats and in our hosen, and begins to bind us. We're more than conquerors. I don't care if they throw me in the fire, if they put me in a firing squad. And this world has gone crazy. We got people shooting people, and we've got on the precipice of possibly the first female president. I told someone the other day, and I actually hurt some feelings. I said, when someone that can't talk and can't walk is nominating you, you don't need to stick your chest out. And this doesn't say a lot to you when someone who's halfway in the grave is promoting you and saying you're the next one. That's not saying a lot. But I don't want to get into all that. But just this world's crazy, and people will vote for her just because she's a female. And that's just crazy. I'm so glad I met him. I'm so glad he gave me communion. One day, the same Melchizedek that met Abraham after the slaughter of the king, certainly, the God of heaven. Elon, I don't know if he's meant to say Elohim. Abraham called him Elohim. The great I am, not I was, I am, present tense. And he blessed him. Now we are more than conquerors. We're just walking right into it as an inheritance. More than conquerors. Now we're dealing with a defeated enemy. Sickness is defeated. Death is defeated. Hell is defeated. Everything is defeated. Oh my. Wish I was twice my size. Now maybe I feel twice as good. We are disputing with a conquered enemy. That's who we're dealing with. And his little trick is, he doesn't know he's defeated, but he is. He's flat out defeated. Sometimes we might get caught up in the flesh and lose that realization as a child of God, knowing that he's defeated. And we begin to allow him to argue with us and trap us. And that's all he wants. He just wants to hold you where you don't realize who you are. If he can just hold you right there, and just a little something, just a little bit, that's where he's. But you have his answer. Oh man, I'm gonna close. I got one more quote. I want to find this. I want to read the last two quotes, paragraph 32. And 33 of Things That Are to Be, and we'll close. And I'm sorry, I was all over the place there. You had the quotes, and if you feel led to go read them, go read them. Now, the only way that you can be a son, a daughter of God, because you have to be, you have to have eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. Only one form of eternal life, and that's God. That's it. There's not God's eternal life and our eternal life. They're not. There's only one form of eternal life. Just one. And it's God. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. Only one form of eternal life, that's God. He said it twice. There, to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. See, you're nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God. I want to read that sentence again because that's my point right there. You are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God. As the Son of God, now you're expressed. After his word come into you to light up this age. This age didn't have light until he began to express you. And I say you, express him in veils of flesh. Sometimes I say you I want to say there's me and then there's him and there's not. No, it's just him. And he's expressing himself in a veil of flesh. So when I say you, I want you to realize you the bride, not Michael Hendershot, not flesh. And I think with me, I think that there's, I have to be careful because me and God, yeah, I know it's me, it's God, I'm God, and then somewhere in there, I begin to start doing like this. And that's not how it is. It's just him. He's just him expressed in a many-membered bride. There's only one form of eternal life, and it's just God. Now you're expressed. After his word came in, light up the sage. You are expressing God's life in you because you are sons and daughters of God. Therefore, you get what I mean, see? You are now made. You're setting in this church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and to this people and to this neighborhood where you're associated. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here because you had to be one of his genes or his attributes. You had to be. If you got eternal life, then it's always was eternal life. And God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you would be here. And when the word or the water, the washing of the water of the word fell on you, it was expressed in a being. Now you fellowship with your father, God, just as you have with your earthly father. See, you're citizens of the king. Not citizens, but children, sons and daughters of the living God. If it be that eternal life dwells in you, then if it was, Jesus was the fullness of God manifested. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, when he came to earth, he was manifested in flesh. You were here in him then, because he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was made flesh, therefore you walked with him. You were in him. When he was here on earth, you suffered with him, you died with him, you was buried with him, and now you are risen with him. And manifested attributes of God, setting in heavenly places, already raised, resurrected to life, and setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, that means so much nowadays, church. That means so much to us to see ourselves positionally placed in Christ. When you find that, you got it. When you find your position in Christ, it's over. There's no more battling. It's over. You got it. Now, if we were those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the word, because the bride is part of the bridegroom, like any wife is part of her husband. Therefore, we must be that word bride. And what is that word bride? The manifestation of this hour, the bride, not a creed or a denomination, but a living oracle of God, a living attribute of God, displaying to the world the attributes of God in the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we're living in now. Amen. Trust you got something out of that. I really like that story, and I know Brother Branham dramatized that story in a few different messages, and made it a point not to, because I know you've read them, but I thought, what a powerful testimony those three Hebrew children had. But see, they didn't know whether God was going to save them or not. But see, you know today that you're more than conquerors. So you know a little bit more than what they know. You know you're dealing with a defeated enemy. He's defeated. You have his answer. So whatever you're facing, you may have to go through the fire. But you know that everything's going to be all right. You know that you're dealing with a defeated enemy. You're more than conquerors, and God is going to manifest his word through his bride. He's doing it. He's not going to. He's doing it. So let's all stand. Trust that y'all have a good week. Trust that I'll speak for me. I hope I stay on my knees all week. Whether it's at work, and I say that, I don't mean that you literally have to be on your knees, but you can be in that that mindset, if you will. You can be in that position to be leaning on Him, to always be looking, to not just, and I say, the bride moves boldly. She has, thus saith the Lord. So she can go forth and she can move on her own will, but she's constantly, Lord, what is your will? What is your will? And I get in a hurry a lot of times, and I rush out and I get tied up with things. And but he's gonna work it out. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being here tonight, Lord, and we thank you for giving us words, Lord. And I know maybe that as a man or as a veil of flesh, I didn't maybe express it just like you wanted it to, Lord, but we know that you're more than able to take this word that was spoken tonight, Lord, and place it in the hearts of your children, Lord, and to make it real to them, Lord, to make that revelation clear each day, Lord, to know that they're the expression of God walking around on this earth. The prophet said, you said through your prophet, Lord, that the only way the world's going to see you, Lord, is through your bride. And Lord, the only way they're going to see it through the bride is if the bride expresses it, Lord. And it's not necessarily she expresses it on top of the mountain, but even in the valleys, Lord. As she comes through it, as she goes through that molding and that cleansing and that cutting away of the flesh and things of the world, Lord. As the world looks on and not understanding and confusion, Lord, but they see something happening that they don't understand, but Lord, we know as your children that you manifest in yourself, Lord. Help us to be ever mindful of your presence, Lord, and ever willing to submit to the Holy Spirit to move as you would have us move, Lord. Lord, we ask that you work that work in us. We know only you can do it. So we go from this place tonight, Lord, may you bring us back to the next appointed time, Lord. And those that are away, may you give them a good time, give them rest, give them peace. And the ones that are overseas, Lord, you know each case, each situation. We ask a blessing upon them. And Lord, as each of us have needs, Lord, we know that the answers lie within your word, Lord. Let us turn to that in all things, Lord. We commit ourselves in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Dismissed.